Washington Terrace. I'm Mark Allen. I'm the mayor of this great city of Washington Terrace. We welcome you to our new public works facility. You're standing right now at our second EOC in our city, so this will be a good facility if we have another tornado or, you know, whatever, typhoon or something. So honestly, never say never, all right? Okay, city leaders?
18 years.
Be prepared. Something's always coming. We'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. This is a fire consolidation meeting, okay? This is not a sales pitch from Washington Terrace, from South Ogden, from Riverdale, from Zions Bank. This is just for information only. We're trying to get all the elected officials together to get all the information out there. We paid a little bit of money to Susie and her staff. Welcome, Susie, from Zions Bank. A little bit of money to put together this study. And we've also had some help from our finance people from all three cities have met a couple times, right, Cherie?
Yep.
And we appreciate their help. City managers, all the fire chiefs from the three cities have been involved quite a bit in this, so we appreciate their help. But again, this is not a sales pitch. This is just to bring it to all the elected officials and see where we want to go. Okay, we want to welcome Amy Rodriguez. Our city recorder is here. She's going to be taking minutes or notes. I don't know, I guess not minutes, but kind of notes, I guess. So if you are participating, if you are speaking, please speak loud. We don't have any microphones for Amy, but she is going to try to record this. Okay, I think I thanked everybody for their help. We'd like to introduce, I hope we have all the elected officials up around the table at least. So we can get close. Do we have all the elected officials that are here so far? Okay, we've got a couple extras if we got some coming in. I'd like to do some introductions for Amy's sake. What introductions do you want, Amy? You want the whole room? Well, we've got a sign-in sheet here. If you haven't signed in, would you please sign in for Amy also so she knows who's present?
Great. And if you're going to be speaking, I know who you are.
Okay, if you're going to be speaking, holler out your name. Okay, before you speak.
Do you want to pass that around?
Yeah, he wants to pass that around. We'll pass that around, sure. If you haven't signed it, please sign that. Well, let's go around the table here and just introductions to the elected officials. Maybe we'll go back to the back table and get our administrative. Well, may as well do everybody because we've got a lot of fire people here that I don't know personally. So, Susie, we'll start with you. And let's go around the table and then we'll head back to the first row right there and go back to the back. Speak loud for Amy's sake, okay?
I'm Susie Becker. I'm with Zions Public Finance.
I'm Sally Orr with South Ogden City.
Susan Stewart with South Ogden City.
Alan Arnold, Riverdale City.
Kelly Hansen, Riverdale City.
Mark Stevens, Riverdale City.
Norm Searle, Riverdale City.
Brent Ellis, Riverdale City.
Brent Strait, South Ogden.
I'm just a resident, Riverdale, using the table.
Welcome. It's all good, man. Russ Porter, South Ogden Mayor.
Mike Howard, South Ogden.
Adam Hensley, South Ogden City.
Jeff West, Washington Terrace.
Larry Weir, Washington Terrace.
Cody Carden, Child Richards and Associates. I work with them.
Jackie Manning, Riverdale City.
Walt Osmond, South Ogden.
Jerry Cottrell, South Ogden resident.
Jerry Smith, I'm from the Uinta City Council, just peering over the backyard fence.
Great. Christy Bell may be here. I'm just in a meeting
She's
with
not.
Her. She's not.
Call me Christy.
Oh, okay, you're Christy tonight. Thank you for being here.
Welcome, Christy. Steve Jacobson, Washington Terrace resident.
Chief
Bush, Washington Terrace City.
Clay Peterson, Washington Terrace City.
You're up. Don't sit down.
Steve Brooks, Riverdale City Attorney.
Jared Shelley, Riverdale City Fire Chief.
Denzel Remington, Public Works Maintenance Supervisor.
Back row.
Mitch Breer, South Ogden Fire.
Jared Hawks,
South Ogden Fire.
Sean Meacham, South Ogden Fire.
Okay, the important table, right back in the corner.
Lisa Capitano, South Ogden City. Sheree Garrett, Washington Terrace City.
Steve Eberslap, South Ogden.
Tom Hanson, Washington Terrace.
All right. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your interest in this. And this is important. This is important for the future of really all of Southern Weber County. So we appreciate Uinta City being here, that Uinta City has been brought up in a few other discussions with this group, or with this planning group. So, you know, we haven't forgot about you. And, you know, so, well, let's go ahead and get started. Overview. Roger, you got the floor.
Thanks. I'll try and get through this as quickly as possible. I know it's late. I appreciate y'all being here. Take time away from your time and your families to be here tonight to look at this information. Started about a year and a half ago, discussions that we were having at the time with South Ogden City and Riverdale. We invited the Terrace into looking at this information that we're going to present to you tonight. I wrote down a couple of goals that we want to fly at tonight, a higher elevation. You know, I can't tell you if this idea advances what color a fire truck would be or what station area would look. I can't tell you those details. I don't have all the answers. I don't think anyone in this room has all the answers. But what we want to do is just give you a real quick overview of kind of the how and the why it came about. I talked with Mayor Searle and some of the other mayors that we've presented this information to them previously. Kind of shows kind of the reasons as to why we are looking at this and why we had a study done through Science Bank Public Finance. Wrote down some goals today, talking with Tom and Matt, my peers in city management. And basically, does this, looking at this information tonight, this initial draft of this information, is there enough data, enough interest, if you will, to advance this idea to more research work, investigation, maybe burrowing down into some of the details of a potential fire issue? And so that's what we're looking for tonight. We're not here to vote. We're not here to have a council and have a consensus. Just simply here to see if there's enough data that interests you as the elected officials of these three communities to advance this further for more consideration, more idea, more discussion. There's a lot of good information here tonight, but like I said, I don't have all the answers. And then perhaps a second goal is if we decide or we have an agreement to look at this further, what would be the next steps that you would be considering or that you think we as a staff should consider in working with the fire personnel and other entities that could help enlighten and bring more information to the table. But I was sitting here tonight in my office coming up here and I was looking at this. And you look at those three patches up there and every one of them is unique and different. Just like each one of our communities and each community throughout the state or throughout the country is unique, has its own issues, has its own challenges as far as delivering core services. Just like these patches up here on this presentation. But I'm gonna run through some of the information as to the how, the why, the what, why we looked at employing Zions Bank to come in and look at the numbers. And so I'm gonna try and get through this hopefully in about 14, 15 minutes. So obviously the department's involved, that's why we're out here tonight. South Ogden, Riverdale, and Washington Terrace. Talk a little bit about staffing levels, and I'm going to talk a lot about some duplication not only of resources, personnel. You can see here South Ogden, two stations, chief, deputy chief, Riverdale station, fire chief, full-time, part-time. Washington Terrace station, full-time chief. A little bit different than they have a paid volunteers department, a little bit different than South Ogden and Riverdale in that sense. We included a little article here about fire departments and how they struggle with recruitment. We see that in police officers. We see that a little bit in the fire department now. Really, the challenge we have, at least in Riverdale, is for part-time, finding more part-time. So that's a challenge that we're looking at here. Why the district? Improve service level and response time. Washington Terrace, Riverdale residential area. On a map later on kind of shows how that intertwined area and how the service level can be benefited in that area. Riverdale, South Ogden commercial area, as you come down in that area around Artsy Willie. And what I'm getting at here, and it's throughout this presentation, is that we have boundaries. And those boundaries require a certain call out of a certain engine or a certain ambulance, whereas it may not be the closest ambulance, it may not be the closest engine to the incident. Staffing of the Washington Terrace station, if that can be improved in some type of consolidation. Decrease in reliance of auto and mutual aid. In other words, if we're our own entity, we bring all the resources to the issue, to the event, to the cause. We prove response to large-scale events, natural disasters, active shooter. We know what those are. We had a tornado a couple of years ago. We've had an airplane fall out of the sky recently out in down Riverdale, between Riverdale and Roy, a couple of times. Fire departments aren't just necessarily putting out fires anymore. We have water rescues. We have natural disasters. We have perhaps, you know, heaven forbid, school shootings, things like that, where mass casualties can occur. They're a lot more unique, and the training required now is much more stringent. Mentioned this, apparently the closest station is not necessarily the one that always responds to an incident. You know, we could have a car wreck over in front of In-N-Out Burger right on the boundary between South Ogden and Riverdale. Who's going to get the call? Riverdale. Would South Ogden get there earlier?
Way earlier.
Again, consolidation of expensive equipment. You saw some of that earlier. Everyone has an engine. Everyone has a brush truck. Some of those things could be consolidated with that expensive equipment. Stabilization of ambulance revenue. There's a slide that talks about that later on. Jurisdictional boundaries eliminated. We build up these boundaries, and we all have to service our particular areas. Can we eliminate those boundaries through the district and get a more efficient response, better services? And just like anything in local government, when we make decisions, it's about the residents. It's about the public. What is in the best interest of the residents? And that's hopefully what can guide some of our thoughts and discussions as we look at this information. Efficiency opportunities, perhaps looking at paramedics or ambulance revenues, development and promotions of staff, retention of staff. Everybody's getting the same training. Those are some of the benefits. Potential boundaries, geographically related stations. You don't find two stations really close together. They're kind of geographically situated in that map area. This is for fire response. I think EMS response on the next one shows Uinta. South Ogden takes them, right? Is that pretty cheap? So as far as ambulance response, they would be responding down in this area for any EMS type calls into the Uinta area. So again, some of the equipment that's here that's perhaps duplicated could be addressed. Obviously fire engines, this is Riverdale and South Ogden. Different types of equipment. Riverdale runs a heavy rescue for Weber County, which is a benefit. The ambulances and how those ambulances are distributed in the district can be addressed. I know the Terrace currently operates with an ambulance from Ogden City, right? So Washington Terrace Fire Department, again, we looked at, you know, their equipment. They have number of incidents for 2017, just over 5,000 calls between all three communities. Most of them EMS. This is benefits that you'd be looking at possibly for EMS response and fire response into the Terrace area, into the red and the blue, and you can see the types of equipment that could come with and within the times there. Significant improvement in response times. This is Riverdale's.
Hey Roger, can I point one thing out on that last slide? That bottom paragraph.
Oh, here?
You'll see it in the other slide coming up. Jared Shelley, Fire Chief. But on that bottom section right there, currently with Ogden City running that ambulance service, you're an average of 7 minutes and 30 seconds from an ambulance to Washington Terrace. We can provide 3 ambulances within this district set up in less than that to Washington Terrace. Because Ogden City, if their main ambulance is busy, then the next one comes from 21st Street.
They roll that call to the next.
They roll that call to the next ambulance deep in Ogden. So that allows, so they're driving past 2 stations currently, and those 2 stations now will be available to respond. Okay.
This is Riverdale. This is the intertwinement area I was speaking of. If the Terrace was in this area here, their station, obviously you can see how close that they would be to servicing that portion of Riverdale. They'd also be responding down into this area. Quicker response times for both EMS and fire. Here's the South Ogden EMS and fire response.
two engines within 5 minutes in the yellow area, and then in the blue area, you have three engines within the 7 minute period. And you ask yourself, well, why is that? You know, you look at it, we have mutual aid anyway, but mutual aid, you show up with different equipment, different training. Some could show up with maybe two on an engine versus three or four on an engine. The efficiency of a billing company is enhanced, management of resources in one department, consolidation of current officers, the hierarchy or officers of the departments, and then a single full-time fire marshal would be with that. Flexibility with staffing, these are all, again, possible benefits. We included in here the integration of Spillman. Some of you know what Spillman is. Calls are dispatched throughout the area. You have GPS, you know each where each one of your units are within the district. That could be enhanced through the use of Weber County Dispatch. It's one district.
Can I add to that too, sir?
Sure.
Sorry. I worked at Layton City for 25 years, worked in Spillman about 15 of those 25. Currently in Weber County, no one is utilizing GPS mapping of per units. We're going close to stations only. Talking with Weber Dispatch, if we had a consolidated district this size, we would be able to then engage the Spillman program, where now we GPS every individual unit. So now I have the ambulance coming out of Riverdale from Ogden Regional, driving through Washington Terrace in that area, and all of a sudden a cardiac arrest comes in over by that area. The station's not dispatched, it's the unit. So now the response times even improve more utilizing Spillman the way it should. On top of that, it shows us fire hydrants, it pinpoints addresses, it shows us quickest routes, it changes everything, command structure. I can now visualize, if you look at that bottom, I can see every unit that's coming to that fire scene, and I can start making assignments accordingly to who's coming.
Again, this talks about a little bit about fire ground safety. Basically, the firefighters that are on scene when they have a fire incident or any type of incident, where you have multiple departments perhaps currently go into the area, how that command structure works or doesn't work in some cases sometimes. I'll show a different slide coming up here real quick. An on-scene safety officer would be used. Right now, unit identification numbers, remember the Uinta fire here, last year, Chief? We ran into multiple issues because we had Davis County units and Weber County units utilizing the same engine numbers. Created some problems in that sense when they cross over county boundaries with large-scale incidents as the Uinta fire. So hopefully you could look and address some of these identification numbers. Study that was done about landmark residential fire study. This was done by the U.S. Department of Commerce. Talked about the fire service's ability to properly protect property and lives with the number of people on crew. Here's where, if you had a structure fire, the ST is the station, Riverdale Station, Washington Station, South Ogden 82 Station. Kind of how you should attack a residential fire structure with properly manned crews, using an incident commander, a RIT team, rapid intervention.
Can I, with this, show you what it is today?
Yeah.
How? Because today it's not that. That's what it would be with the district. Today, Washington Terrace's engine wouldn't be part of that initial response. The way Weber County's auto aid and mutual aid system works, you have to be a full-time staff department in order to be part of the auto aid system within Weber County. So in turn, if this was a fire within Riverdale or South Ogden, Washington Terrace's engine wouldn't be there, and we would have two mutual aid engines. Ogden City only allows one engine out of their city at a time. So if, for example, Ogden City last year ran 19,000 calls, almost 2,000 structure, almost 2,000 fire calls, the likelihood of their one engine being available to us lessens every year because they get busier. And if Ogden's not available, for example, in South Ogden area, the next engine would be Roy. If Roy's not available, who also averages 10 calls a day, the next engine, which is becoming more common, is Weber Fire District, engine 61, out by Smith and Edwards. That is our engine that is showing up more often than not on Riverdale fires and South Ogden fires. because these engines are getting busier. When you're talking 36,000 calls a year in Weber County right now, fire incidents, this is what this does when we talk about reliancy or lack of reliancy on mutual aid. This allows us that option of not needing mutual aid to fulfill some of these. This is a minimum fire ground operation. If you look, there's only two rescue members. There's only two people sitting there to rescue firefighters. There's one fire attack team and one team to support that attack team and make them safe. This is the very minimum at every, and this is a single family house fire. If this was a commercial fire, we would have to minimum double this, at minimum. So this is what our hope is moving forward the district, that we're only reliant now on one mutual aid engine and not two or three.
It's pretty descriptive. Ambulance stabilization that we mentioned earlier on one of the first slides, talking about the purchasing power of supplies for the ambulance. You have one medical director, right now we have multiple. And then the use of Ogden Regional as an anchor, Ogden Regional Hospital as a training. They're pretty excited about the idea. We made mention of that in a couple of contacts that we've had with them. And then you got a broad range of demographic customers with your ambulance service. You have a lot of aging persons in all of our communities. We have assisted living centers in our communities. We have medical clinics and, of course, the hospital. paramedic response could be considered as part of the district, which produces revenue, not relying upon Ogden City or Roy for paramedic response. Decreases the time that paramedic care would be needed. Wildland team and deployment options. Prior to working here, I worked for another city that engaged in wild team deployment. And basically, if the federal government requests resources, we will reach out to communities that are in the area requesting equipment, and you can receive reimbursement and aid for that type of activity. Commonly, we would send a significant good-sized brush truck out of Davis County, where I worked, to a couple fires in California, bring significant revenue for the fire department or for the city in that case. Some disadvantage, of course, loss of local control a little bit. The fire department is as close to the city manager, perhaps, or the other core service delivery department heads in your community. Perception that the consolidation will not provide the same level of service currently provided by the local department is a possibility. There are residents out there, whether they're taking away the fire department. No, the fire department's still there. It's quite opposite if you really look at the information that we've kind of gathered right here in this study. I think the service level would go the opposite as far as being an improvement. And then, of course, differences in wages and benefits to the firefighters would have to be looked at. Possible government body idea. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we've talked about it. It's kind of mimics what they do in the South Davis Metro Fire District down in the south end of Davis County. They have a city manager oversight or control board that works directly with fire chiefs or fire staff on budgets, proposals, and policies. Elected officials from city council members and the mayors of the member cities would be the final approval and would consist of the executive board, if you will, of the district, being in charge of approving budgets, proposals, and policies. So we really like, when I say we, Tom, Matt, and myself, we really like the idea of having administrative control board in between the fire service and the elected official board. We thought that provided a couple of these benefits to that: transparency, accountability, positive reception, and of course city participation is still key to the operation of the fire district. That's it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Like I said, we're going to fly at a higher level of discussion. Most of what we really want to look at is what Susie's put together. I do have a Q&A on here, but it might be best if we let Susie go here. And then you have Q&A at the end.
Thank you, Roger. Yeah, write down your questions. You have any questions for Roger on that? just like Roger said, let's let Susie from Zions Finance come up and give her presentation. I think all the elected officials have probably received this electronically. Maybe I should have a look at it. So, Susie, welcome.
To see if it might make sense to consider the idea of consolidating into a fire district. When we use the word feasibility, you know, what do we mean? Generally, when we look at a feasibility study, if it's an annexation, a corporation, other type of feasibility, we'll measure current level of services and say, can you keep those same level of services without any negative financial impact, without any undue burden on anyone? In this case, it was a little different. We have Riverdale and South Ogden, which can keep the same level of service they have, and it comes out, you'll see in a minute, pretty close to a wash for them. Washington Terrace, however, was operating perhaps with some part-time staff, and so theirs required an increase in service levels and also an increase in cost, and only you can determine if that increase in the cost is worth it and you consider that to be feasible or not. I'm going to take you to the very end of the report first, show you where we ended up, and then I'll go back and walk you through a few more numbers. You've seen this, so you know the study area, the layout of the land there. So this is where we ended up in trying to look at if this is feasible. So for each of the three cities, we have your what was your current tax rate at the time. We multiplied that by a $250,000 primary residence, so the tax rate times 250,000 times 0.55, because you get that 45% exemption to non-primary residences. And this was the maximum tax that, and we're just not sure if there's a laser in here. It looks like there might be. I just want to turn this off.
It's a TV. You won't see
the TV. Okay. I'm just going to point. So you can see some of the things that stand out to me on this slide, and I'm standing in front of Fernando, is how much less in property tax we have in our paid in Riverdale. That will make a difference in how we structure this in the end. And that's beyond the scope of this study, but we do kind of hint at it as we talk about this. So then we take we take your fire cost per residence. So if we were to take your total fire budget and what would it take, given your taxable value in terms of a tax rate, what would each home have to pay? This is about what it would cost. Now, we know in Riverdale you can't possibly be paying, you're not paying this much because your property tax rate is lower. But you are getting the equivalent of that in service, and it's just being subsidized through sales tax, okay? So if we were to do a new district, we would be about $247, and of course everyone would pay the same if it were a taxing district. We're gonna look at it in a couple ways, but I just wanna show you that because it helps you see some comparisons where you're very different. So Washington Terrace, you can see that lower service level there in the amount currently being paid for fire service compared to the other two cities. So South Ogden and Washington Terrace are similar in terms of property tax. Riverdale and South Ogden are a little more similar there in terms of the level of fire service that we're seeing. Okay. And we will go back through this in a little more detail, but I just wanted to show you where we're ending up. So if you were to take that fire department budget right out of your city budget because you're in a district, how could you reduce your tax rate? Well, in theory, although not in practicality, this is what you do in Riverdale, South Lake, and Washington. The proposed tax rate in the third column over would be the same, of course, because if we're in one district, we're all the same. Current annual payments, you just saw those, then we saw the projected payments, 247. that could be potential savings or increased cost. Really, Riverdale and South Ogden, as we talk through these numbers and some of the assumptions, you'll see that it's kind of a wash for them there. We've been presented it's outside of our city, but with some increased service levels. But it does appear that you could have increased service levels in Riverdale and South Ogden for really not much difference in your current cost. And then Washington Terrace, of course, would have a significant increase because your service levels would have to come up substantially. Okay, so this is, suppose that we were to do it through a taxing district. And we recognize Riverdale had to do this in the beginning. But anyway, here's your taxable value estimate on the first line here. There's your taxable value estimate, and then this is your total percent of each group, adding to 100%. This is the amount that we would have to cover. That's not the budget for the fire district. That's the amount left to cover after ambulance revenues, because you do get some revenues. Then you would have the cost allocation would be about 1.3, 1.8, 1.9 million, 760,000. Okay, memorize your number for your city. If you're Riverdale, memorize this, South Ogden, Washington Terrace. Now what if we do it based on a fee based on your number of calls for service?
Is that per capita?
This is the total amount that the city would pay, that you would have taxable value, that your whole community would be paying based on their taxable value. So if we had the same tax rate, which we showed in the previous slide for everyone, let me show you, you'd all be paying the same tax rate.
Oh, I see.
Okay, and given the taxable value in Riverdale, you'd be contributing this much of it, Riverdale property owners. South Ogden would be contributing that much, and Washington Terrace would be contributing that much to get it to 3.9 million. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, ask questions with these numbers. So here, what if it were based on calls for service? There's all different combinations you can do, and it's kind of the next step for you to look at that, but I wanted you to see the difference. Okay, which direction did Riverdale go? Up or down? Calls up. Their share would be higher. Here's their calls for service. They're pretty close to South Ogden, much closer in number of calls for service than they were back here in taxable value. Okay? So they would be paying higher, South Ogden a little more, and Washington Terrace, as you can see, an extremely low number of fire calls for service there, and that would bring down their contribution.
Can I answer why that is?
Yeah.
So if you notice, Riverdale and South Ogden fire calls are very, very close. It goes back to that auto aid feature. Washington Terrace is not part of auto aid to any other city within Weaver County right now. They're not supporting any other city with a fire engine on fire calls. So in turn, the 126 fire calls are only in Washington Terrace. There's a few brush fires here and there, a couple that do come in there, but they're not in the auto aid stacks. And so with Riverdale and South Ogden being in those auto aids, we are going to Northview, Weaver Fire District, South Ogden, Washington Terrace, Ogden City. We hit every city, South Weaver, Uena. Riverdale goes to every city within Weaver County on structured fires. We've hit every one of them over the last 2 years. Or that's where you see the big difference.
How does the cost on a call for service differ for a residential home versus a business?
We haven't differentiated in this. It's just in a straight call at this point. And you could look at that. You certainly have seen some that are structured where you have a certain amount of population and a certain amount of fee per commercial development. There's all kinds of combinations of how you could structure it. That would be like the next step if you decide to move forward. This is a preliminary.
On that slide that showed us the 14 firemen that had to show up for the residential.
16 within 8 minutes
to a commercial building, does that number go way up or stay
about the same? Yeah, commercial building, any reported working fire in a commercial building, we automatically in Weaver County go to a second alarm. A second alarm doubles the first alarm. And so just plan on getting pretty much every fire engine in Weaver County coming at you. So yeah, commercial buildings require at least double of what we have on scene for residential.
So that could be a consideration as well when you go to structure it. This is just to give you some parameters at this point, but good questions. So take a deep breath. We're going to go back now and just kind of start with the easier numbers and work up to this. So I just wanted you to see kind of where we're heading. Okay, so we just kind of went through these numbers. We have fire calls, a trend in those at the top, and then the EMS at the bottom. I think it's interesting that South Ogden and Riverdale are pretty similar in the fire, but Washington Terrace is left. But we look at the EMS, we're seeing Riverdale and Washington Terrace be lower than South Ogden. EMS has a lot to do, depends on demographics of a community, and that plays, that will play into the type of revenues that are generated in a community. Well, it's the type of call, ambulance call that and transport that makes a difference in the type of revenues you receive. So
if you look back in 2012 and 2013, we're very similar in fire calls now in Washington Terrace, Riverdale and South Ogden, Washington Terrace. What happened in 2014 and especially in 2016, Weber Fire District, we ran out of basically firefighters. We don't have enough engines responding to fire calls. So that's when that CAD change happened. The auto aid started to become into effect, and we started seeing all the cities within Weber County supporting each other more. And that's why you see the call volume jump up almost 200 fires in both cities.
This is great color for the numbers. Numbers need a little story behind it. I should put some pictures in. You've seen this number before. I just wanted you to see the difference here in taxable value that we have between the communities and their calls for service. Okay, this is where we spend, 90% of our time, maybe 80% at least, coming up with a consolidated budget for the three communities. I don't know how, can you see those back there? It's 5.2 million down in the bottom corner. Let me tell you a few things about it. It was based on a lot of meetings with the fire chiefs, and then the finance directors got together and had some input as well that they give back to the fire chiefs as they work through a budget. One of the things, it's a really pretty robust budget as we look at it. It's, we see public safety costs going up everywhere. It's expensive to hire and maintain employees now, and you've got to be competitive. So we have tried to take that into account in salaries and wages to make this viable fire district. We have also added in more for fleet replacement, capital outlay showing up here down here at the bottom, $400,000 a year. We see this trend in almost all of the fire districts, firms that we're working with, that is just becoming more and more costly. So we've tried to account for that. Any other comments on this from your perspective as you work through it, Chief?
We also accounted for how the administrative costs that normally the city would provide,
right,
but now the district has to provide. So there's $140,000, I believe, in administrative costs up there. There's also about $160,000 figured in for station maintenance. We're not sure if we're going to lease buildings yet, if the district would open and pay the buildings. So we put money in there. So between the capital overlay, some of the general, some of the fees in there for city, I guess it'd be support services, some of those things that would normally come out of a different line item within the city are figured into this. So like the capital overlay would be something that's in our motor pool budget, in the city budget.
So this is one of the points I wanted to bring out, is that it's a very conservative estimate when you go back to those first slides I showed you of what your impacts might be. Because the city, we only took the fire department budgets out of there, and if you could cut costs in some administrative, then you would have more savings than we're showing. We didn't assume that you could, because that's kind of a hard thing to do and it's already in place. But this is kind of the cost there. We really felt like a worst case scenario. I'll show you a little more of that as we go along. Okay, so we're going to have these costs. We're also going to have ambulance revenues that are going to help offset some of that $5.2 million. These costs here are based on what we've seen historically in each of the communities, and we have grown them out at a 3.5% growth rate. Why 3.5%? That was a hard one to decide, because Riverdale, South Ogden, Washington Terrace, you're all growing at different rates, your ambulance revenues. So we used 3.5%, and then we looked at some other factors, growth factors we had seen, and I ran it a second way and got almost the identical numbers. This is a straight 3.5% growth rate off of where you are now. The other way was to assume 4% increase in transports, which we had been seeing, but only a 2% increase in the revenue the charge, because you can't control that. That's given to you by the state. So running with those assumptions for transports and revenue should get about the same numbers, so we felt pretty comfortable with them. As well as, kind of remember where you're at there, we'll compare you at the end to some other fire districts, and you're in the ballpark with them, this 1.3 million, 2.1.2 million range.
So I think the other thing that helps us with those ambulance revenues is the fact that we're adding another ambulance to the system. So now we're not so dependent on outside Ottawa, again, coming out of Ogden or Roy somewhere. We're actually adding an ambulance into the system that we're going to be able to gain those revenues that normally we would give to another hourly in the city.
So again, we're pretty conservative. Okay, so here's how we looked at it in terms of revenues for transport as well, like I just told you. So one of the billing companies gave me the average revenues for transport for these five cities, and the Weber County average, but we don't know which cities they were because we felt that was confidential. And you know, the revenue for transport depends on whether you're a Medicare, Medicaid, or insurance, you know, how they're paying. This is the average revenue in these cities. Weber County average is $625. And then here, based on what we saw the last year, Riverdale $563, South Ogden $499, Washington Terrace was $627. So when I projected the transports or the ambulance revenues, that second one I told you, I just used the Riverdale was in between their average and then grew the 2%.
So on that, is that because of transport distance, you think, that creates that South Ogden?
There's a little bit of payback mileage, but I think it's more due to what your demographic is. As I talked to the billing company quite a bit, he was just adamant on you have to understand the demographics of your community, and it is so varied across the county, and it depends on whether you're getting this Medicaid. Medicaid pays more than Medicare now. It didn't used to, but the states, there's a subsidy. So Medicaid pays more. Medicare is the least, and then private insurance makes up all that difference. So it depends on your demographic, how that's paying out. So there we go, and like I said, we did the 3.5% growth and the 3.5% growth, and then I did the 4% with the 2%, and I got basically the same numbers. So we're feeling pretty comfortable with our revenue numbers. So here are the projected impacts. Okay, this top line, ambulance revenues, you just saw that. I explained how we got that. You saw the operating expense in that first year, that under 2019, $5,157,000. And that number is grown out at 4% a year for inflation for expenses. There leaves us that amount to be covered by tax rate. You've seen that $3.9 million before. If we do it through a tax district, you would get a little bit of fee and lieu revenues. It's, don't even worry about that. Anyway, it just offsets a little bit. The taxable value, the tax rate needed, and so it's slightly less here because we've counted in fee and lieu revenues. And the impact on the $250,000 primary residence is this $247. And then it would grow each year. But of course, it's going to grow your impacts in your cities, whether you do the district or not, it would grow. Anyways, so what are some tax rates in other fire districts? We were doing about $247. UFSA, Salt Lake County, is about $249. That's really close. 248 there. Weber, you've got to add together the bond and the top one and then that one, the fire district. They add together, you get about $299, which is higher than what we're projecting. The report has a list of about 25 or so of these, and they go from really low down in Rockdale and Rockville and Springdale up to, this is the higher end pretty much. So you would be in that, but it's also probably conservative in the numbers then, okay? Your taxable value was just over $2.1 million, similar there to North Davis Fire District, and they are at 162. And there's some relationship in your the taxable value that you're protecting through the fire. So here's back to the first slide. I have a few different ones too, but you've seen this one before. Again, the issue with Riverdale, it can't reduce enough, so we have to set up through some other system and property tax. But the others could reduce their budgets and transfer some of that property tax revenue to a fire district over time. Here's why I'm saying that I think these two, before I stand in front of it so much, they're pretty much a wash. Given those assumptions that we've made and how conservative they are, probably Riverdale is going to, could potentially save a little bit. Like Lansing could be pretty close to being where it's at now. And Washington Terrace definitely would be paying more because of the higher service level. You have already talked about this. Do you want to add anything to this? This is something that was provided to me. How you'd staff it. You feel like we've covered this and asked?
Yeah, it just shows how the four stations we staff. We'd be going to, we'd get away from two-handed fire engines. We would cross-staff ambulance engines at every station. And so that way we'd never have two firemen on an engine anymore. It's become a problem within Weber County. It's just dangerous. So that avoids that situation and puts the entire unit back in service, to add the unit.
So how do we compare? How do these numbers stack up with some other fire districts? So if we look at Northview Fire, taxable value is $1.8 billion. The budget is $3.1 million. Remember, we were at $2.2 billion, and our budget was $5.1 million. Average annual capital costs, they have two stations, $150,000, and we have $400,000 in ours. North Davis, we're probably most similar to them. They're at about the same taxable value. Our budget is quite a bit more, $900,000 more per year. Ambulance income was similar. Their capital costs the past 2 years have turned $31,000, but they've budgeted $450,000 for the next year. Anyone remember how much we budgeted in capital costs?
$400,000.
Good job. Okay, so there it is. If you're reading ahead, so you can kind of see we fit in there. We felt like we covered the numbers fairly well from there. Let me see what I have in here. Are there other potential revenue sources if you have a district? There are. Wildland Fire Program, you talked about that already. Grants, impact fees. It depends how it's set up, which of these resources you could use. But we see sale of assets and a lot of those. We have a lot of those. Hazmat fee revenue, any inspections. But that depends again how it's set up. If you could, you know, charge for those. Anyways, just some potential other little revenue sources. But ambulance would be the main one. That's an overview of the numbers. You have a more detailed report. It's a lot of numbers. Do you have any questions on it? Yes.
So, could someone speak to the paramedic program issue, because that's something that's been a real problem?
Yeah, I can try that. You like
to be going back here? Yeah, come up here, Chief, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Chief, we got questions for you, but
not the only one. So the paramedic program, there's definitely a need that has to take place within Washington Terrace, Riverdale, South Park. The current units, for you guys, where the current units are placed right now is below Weber State University up on Harrison. Your next one is downtown on 21st. The one below that is on 3rd Street, Washington 3rd, and then Roy. So that's where your four paramedic units are coming from right now. So there's definitely, when you're talking 5,000 calls a year, we're looking at over 3,000 medicals. There's definitely a need for paramedic service up in this area. As individual cities, it's almost impossible to get that because we're competing against the big guys. We really are. There's a lot of funding involved in paramedic agencies. Everybody wants them. When you're talking, you know, $350,000 for a paramedic unit funded by the county. So as you grow and you have a larger demographic, we have the support to fund that. And if we can't get it at that point through the county, we now have the means of funding it ourselves. And when I worked at Layton City, when we first went to the paramedic program, we funded our own paramedic service for about 3 years. And then we went into the county service. I already kind of know that game. Sometimes you have to start your own program if you can't get it another way. So does that answer?
Yeah. Does Riverdale, do they have anything out on lease right now as far as equipment? Washington Terrace, South Ogden? Is that the $400,000? Or, okay, so that represents that.
That represents those two engines that are already, that we still owe.
And when you said there were going to be four ambulances, are those all in addition to the pump ambulance that South Ogden has?
No, the pump ambulance would count as an ambulance.
Okay.
So the pump ambulance.
Plus the pump ambulance.
Everybody probably doesn't understand what
South Ogden's getting a pump ambulance, and what that means is it's a fire engine and an ambulance transport unit. It's not a perfect concept by any means. However, there's some situations where it's very beneficial. And in Station 82 up in South Ogden, that has short transport times to their two hospitals. They can go back in service where normally they would have to go to the scene, they transport, this whole time you're out of service as a fire engine. You get to the hospital, as soon as you pass your patient off, that engine's back in service. And now we bring it back in. They have to run stuff around, they don't have to take two units. They're always in that one unit, they're always three-handed. There's some huge benefits in that geographical area for that pump unit. It doesn't work everywhere, but it really works well there. And especially in a system that we're cross-staffing units. So that's a huge positive with that purchase.
Chief, could you kind of explain how we gained revenue and how we are losing revenue with the paramedic?
So right now, every time a paramedic rides in our ambulances, we pay those paramedic agencies depending on a percentage that we get every year. So currently, my return percentage in Riverdale is 38%. So I pay 38% to that paramedic agency if I collect or not of that bill. So hopefully we collect the 38% that year, or we do lose revenue in that way. So between the three agencies right now, we figure we're paying out about $180,000 to $190,000 worth of paramedic award revenues each year. That could be revenue that we could gain back in a different way. If we did get the county paramedic program, then we would be able to gain that revenue all back into our own system, plus the revenue from the county. And then the other thing I love about the district is we have an option of managing the paramedic program differently. We don't have to run a single squad. We can split that money and run it over engines. And we can do different things and make the system more effective. And we can put more paramedics on the road for the same cost.
So tell me how, when we get a medical call, and we run on a medical call, where does that, how much can we potentially make, and where do we have to give it all out? We have to give some to the paramedic, even if he doesn't really do anything, I guess.
He rides with us.
We just ride with you, we pay him.
The good thing about being the ambulance service is we get to bill for the supplies. So we bill for the supplies, we bill at a certain rate, and then we fund them back at their rate. So we do gain some benefit on some of the supplies. Where we gain here is we even out that demographic. And we go to one billing company and we pay less than a percentage, and we're able to match that demographic, we're able to focus on certain areas a little bit better. It just, overall, we have once you start dealing with those types of numbers and we see the demographic, we can adjust it. We can do different things. We can work harder to get these type of payouts. We can work harder with the insurance companies to work through those things. I just changed billing companies to go cross billing. 3.5% increase to my revenue from what my other billing company was, by changing a billing company. That's one department, let alone if we're all three. They're drooling to come in and help us. They see a $1.2 million revenue compared to a $240,000 revenue. They're gonna come help us, because they have a lot to gain. And that's how we can gain some additional revenues with the ambulance service. Balance that out between those. I mean, you saw how fluctuating that was between the three cities. You get in a roller coaster ride. And that's really what started here. I was here a month and Roger pulled me aside and said, our ambulance is bleeding. How do we fix this? You know, we can adjust fees and we can do certain things, but ultimately it's figuring out that demographic and stop the roller coaster.
Roger.
This one maybe for Susie a little bit. The presentation that we saw here is a lot tax-based type district. There are other types of things that Susie and I and Matt and others have talked about, similar to what South Davis Metro does, where it's kind of a fee, they start out fee-based system, similar to maybe what we all are familiar with Central Weaver Sewer. You get a fee every year, here's your sewer bill for the year, it's based on assessed value or population. The presentation that Susie has together tonight, if you really look at it, it's difficult for the city of Riverdale to really look at, because obviously our tax rate is much less than what anything that a future fire district would propose. That being said, Susie, if you looked at South Davis Metro,
I'm glad that you brought that point out. And I tried as we went through explain that. This is in no way meant, this is an objective study, it's just to throw out facts to you. The reason I even put, you think, well, why did you even put Riverdale in that way if you can't do it? It was because we needed to have a comparison between the three cities. And we also want to see how is it going to hit the property owner, because that's who's going to, how's it going to hit their pocketbook in a sense. You are subsidizing through sales tax. So in theory, the numbers still work if we can take it over like South Davis has done. You've got a fee-based system, you add in some tax as you go, you know, with time. If you do it that way, you should, while you can't cut your property tax and you don't want to get rid of it altogether, you want that flexibility, you should have more money opening up to do other things for that amount of benefit for your residents. You're in a little bit different situation, whereas the other communities can change their tax rates and still have a good tax rate that you want to have there for bonding or the purposes in case you have that need. So I don't think you'd want to ever get rid of it, a property tax rate. And I'm not suggesting that, just trying to show how you compare with the others and how that will make a difference. If you were to decide to look forward to implement this, that will be a huge consideration for Riverdale to be able to participate. Yeah, you're lucky to have all that stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
well, like my opening statement is, it's like those badges on the street. Every community is
different
in many different ways.
And similar.
It's trying to look at not only benefiting an improved level of service, but also is the money and how to pay for that. And so there's trying to merge those two mentalities together and come out in one effort. Kind of what we're all talking about.
Yeah, there, a lot of work has gone into this. Yes.
Just have a question on the budgets, Chief. The budget that's being proposed is 20% higher than the other ones that are already established. Where did that?
The 900. You mentioned that 900,000 for a similar North or North Davis.
You've got four stations that you're looking at here compared to two stations on the other comparables, and that makes a really big difference in the cost. And then we had their last year budget, but some of them are jumping their capital outlay for the next year. We jumped that 400,000 in. So
my son works for North Davis Fire District. Their firefighters just got a 26% increase in salaries.
So their budget might go up a little bit.
Their budget.
I guess my question is, we're talking about response times, we're talking about efficiencies and where we're at as far as response times. That's based on the perfect scenario that two ambulances aren't out.
Right.
So, but if you had five firefighters and the ambulance is out, you still can man your pumper or whatever to go on the call. So I guess my question is we have a lot of stations with three, sometimes four, and might it be better overall response time if we just had two like they did? I guess the problem is we have all these assets sitting around, and what do we do? I mean, I think 89 Washington, one right there, man, the access is quick from all, and if you had five there instead of three, I see the three as being a real difficulty for us in trying to create a more efficient system. In the long run, are we better off trying to pick our locations a little better and having a larger number of firefighters at a station than having so many stations?
You have to look at response times and make sure you're within that NFP required response times. You have to look and make sure you're not compromising something. So, hypothetically, you take Washington Terrace's fire station out of there and you run everything out of Station 81 in South Ogden. I would suggest that is a minimum, and then you increase the staffing to the other three stations. What that does is there's a corner in Washington Terrace now that has a response time of about 7 to 8 minutes of the closest unit. That's starting to hinge on the very furthest outpost that you want to even have out there. So in the future, would it be an idea to maybe look at building a station out by Ogden Regional and up in this area? Yeah, that's feasible. But right now where it's located, it still meets those response times and gives us that added
response.
So you're saying 81 would be best with 5? Because I saw it was listed at 4.
81 would be best listed for 5.
You would always have a station, and that's really access to a lot of main roads right there.
Right. So that really falls to you guys. And we're kind of getting in the weeds a little bit too. Could be something that could be studied, it could be looked at further on, it could be done by the review board, it could be handled at that point to say, you know what, this isn't, we're not seeing this, it's not a problem, let's look at this, let's reallocate staffing to different areas, let's change some things. That can all be looked at down the road. But right now, I think with what we have, it's better than what we have. You say if there's 2 ambulances going right now, there's always 2 ambulances going right now.
Right.
So we're at least adding a unit to help offset what we currently don't have. And I guess that's where we're kind of at. We are fighting our minimums. We're still like, no doubt about it. Crossed out the environment. That's why I often got away from it. That's why I made my
okay, we're coming up on an hour. We try to keep this to an hour.
63.
My suggestion, we've got, you know, you think there's a lot of work been done up to this point. We decide to go forward. There's, I mean, you've heard, you know,
I just saw
stations. It's going to go crazy. So this is an important decision. My suggestion is we have good representation from all the city councils, three city councils. My suggestion is you take a month, mull it over. If you want to discuss it at a city council meeting with those that aren't here with you, think about it for a month, and let's say September 1 or first part of September, let's try to have some type of decision whether we want to go forward or we're done. And, you know, if you want to stop right here and not put any more time, effort, or money into this discussion or this, you know, let's give us a month to ponder, and that's my suggestion. Anybody have anything better than that?
No, I think that's good.
No vote required, but Matt, how about at the administration table back there?
I just want to emphasize the preliminary nature of what Susie's put together. You know, we have engaged with the finance directors. There's still a lot of work. We're fine-tuning, and we'll continue to fine-tune. So I guess, you know, these numbers are preliminary. They can look at them. They give some indication as to how this is starting to take form. But don't be alarmed if the next meeting, those numbers are slightly different, and because we're continuing to work with finance directors to tweak this and refine it as we go. So that was just my comment, a little caveat to the data.
Right. And there's a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different, you know, we've, Washington Terrace, we're going to, you know, join, we're going to have to up our service a little bit. We're going to have to, our residents are going to have to come up with a lot of money.
$8 a month.
You know, we're not a rich community, but we, you know, so we'll have to do some pondering on that. You know, it looks really good, right? You know, how important is fire service? Pretty darn important. You know, your house is on fire, your neighbor's house is on fire.
Are you having a heart attack?
Or the field's on fire, the hill's on fire.
Or you're having a heart attack or something.
Or, you know, if you have a heart attack, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's, how important is it? It's critical. So this is important. This is big for the future of this area. This is huge for the future of this area. And so, you know. Tom, one final comment?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be the final one, but.
Yeah, will be.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, then I'll work.
Make it good.
The point that I'd like to make is this is absolutely broad brush, preliminary. But the thing that you got to consider in going forward with this is these are never just completely clean without messiness. These are very complicated discussions and ones that can get a little messy going forward. But it's worth the discussion and worth the effort to determine the best service levels, the best funding opportunities, and the best fit for our communities, both individually and collectively. And so it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some patience on everybody's part to work through it in a way that's meaningful and useful for all those involved. And maybe it goes somewhere, maybe it doesn't, but take good consideration into what really makes sense for all concerned and for your individual cities. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, we have a plus in this area, ladies and gentlemen. We have great city councils. we have mayors that, you know, really enjoy each other's company. We love working together. We work together several times a month, and we get along really well. We have three city managers that are the same. You know, they spend a lot of time together, and they're working together for the betterment of their community, but also for the little region we have here. So we have a plus already going forward. So it's a great opportunity for us. But I'm not pushing anything. But let's take a month to think about it, discuss it with those that aren't here. If you have any questions, Susie's available. Chief Shawley's available. All your chiefs are available. You know, let's talk. Let's see what's going on. Let's kind of set a deadline of September 1st. I don't know how we do this, but see how we're feeling. I don't know how we do that, but we get head nods in council meetings. Say, should we go forward? Should we not? You know, see. I don't know. Tom, what do you think?
Well, we could continue to discuss it. And I don't know, maybe in the next month and a half or so, maybe get summer kind of behind us a little bit. And if this group is in favor of getting together again and working through some of those questions and clarifying discussions, it might be worth going ahead and getting together again. It's really a great opportunity where the three cities, where we're so joined together in proximity. I mean, you consider our recreation programs work all together. Our fire teams work together already. Our finance people work together. I mean, just every aspect, we come together to figure these kind of things out. And maybe we get together again and say, look, let's give us a little bit of time, wrestle through some of our questions with our own house, and then possibly come back. So we could even leave that gate open just a little bit and send out an email to everybody and figure something out.
Okay. Matt?
I'm just throwing an idea. What if maybe a couple representatives from the elected bodies of each city now come join the smaller committee of finance directors, the consultants, and city managers? Maybe it's more practical that a smaller group could work and then take information back to the larger. I'm not trying to talk all the councils out of meeting together again. I think this is great. And there's probably other problems and challenges that we could get this group together and continue working on. But I guess that's one option that I would put on the table. Maybe each council says, hey, we got two representatives and the mayor that could work with this committee and be the liaison back to the larger council. Just an idea for consideration.
Okay. Well, let's give you a month to think about it, and let's decide amongst yourselves whether you even want to proceed forward. Okay. Can we do that? September, I want to hear from somebody. Okay, from each city. Where do you want to go? Give me a call. Get with your city managers. Let's, you know, talk with them, and let's see if we want to continue forward. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Chief.
Here today.
You give it a tour?
If you want a tour, yeah, stick around. I coming through a few weeks ago, but it was still didn't have carpet, but we'll have an open house.
Got carpet in their shop.
There you go.
Yeah, all these hoodlums.
36 Spring Street. Say that again?
No.
40th time.
No.
Last big change today.
It's 40th, yeah.
36
yeah.
Will look great.
Yeah, yeah, they're working on that next. Ogden City waited until we got done, and that worked on 36 and Quincy. So it's kind of funny.
It looked very nice.
Yeah, it's a nice road.
Oh, okay. They disbanded.
Yeah.